Of late, I've started speaking about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? God's Spirit is very vital in the life of every believer. I started when Jesus breathed unto his disciples and said, "Receive my Spirit." And he also said they should go and wait in Jerusalem and they shall be endued with power. And there was another encounter with the Spirit of God. And he said, anytime we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, the Spirit of the Lord is part of it that comes to get our spirit born again. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you cannot be called born again. Give us, recreate a new spirit within us. Make us very sensitive to listen to God. That one give you a security and may take you to heaven. I will take you to heaven and give you security. But to be able to go beyond and to do God's work and to go and help other people, you need another strength. That one is the strength is for you. But you need an external strength to be able to help other people, to be able to witness and rescue people and get a proper result. But they were in a world where whatever you tell to anybody will not believe. But they have a system that is running. They've seen Jesus Christ arrested, killed, buried, and some people say he's resurrected. They didn't see him. How do you go and convince these people that truly that Jesus, they saw he died, his death was put into all social media, and everybody saw that the man was dead? How do you convince the world that the man is alive? He knows that ordinary words cannot convince the mind, the ears, the eyes, the senses that have seen something happening. You must bring another proof. You should be able to prove that Jesus is alive. So you are the witness. So you stand as a witness. What is your proof that you saw it? And our proof, he gave us the Holy Spirit. No wonder that day, after Peter preaching, how many people got saved? The Bible said he didn't even try to convince them that Jesus is alive. He spoke the word. After they received the Holy Spirit, the word cut into their heart. It's a sword. The word is a sword. But the sword is operated by the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. It cut into the heart of them. It convicted them that we killed the man. It showed Christ crucified, being alive. Another point, part, they preach again, and thousands of people also got saved. How did they believe it? Because somebody was sick, and they know by medical science, cripples born and certified by medical science cannot stand up or walk. So by a word, if that person stands up to walk, they ask you, the Jesus who you crucified, That person is still alive, and they saw the words of the one he said he's alive. If they see it, they have no option but to believe. In fact, the world we are in today, we need a certain proof. It is not even theological argument. People need to be convicted in their spirit that really Jesus is alive. But the Holy Spirit has become something where, okay, Jesus gave it to us. It's enough. Luke 11, verse 9, I think I read it the other day, to 13. So I say to you, ask and what? It will be given who? Ask, it will be given to you. Seek and what? Knock and what? So there are three things he said we should do. How do we ask? How many of you have asked something before? Or something before? It's not any theological word. It's brothel. Say, ask. You said you don't receive because you ask not. Ask. Ask. Anybody who asks, what happens? Whatever gift you want from God, there is an asking. You need to ask. Blind Bartimaeus asks, the Jesus of Nazareth, he asks that, have mercy on me. He asks for mercy. Then, two, what? Seek. It means that the thing is what? Hidden. It's not for lazy people. You can live a lazy as lazy Christian and want to have results. Seek. If you are sick, you want healing, seek. Go through the Bible and find out, how can I get this healing? Has God even promised me this thing? Don't wait for a pastor to come and tell you. He didn't say pastor sick. He said what? Sick. One of the seeking may be to ask your pastor. Seek. Whatever you are looking for, you will find it. If you enter this room, there are so many things that are happening. But if you are seeking for one particular person, it is you who will see the person. The rest will come and sit down and not recognize that this is the person sitting down. Some will even come and sit by him. And truly, you come to church, you sit by somebody after closing. If I ask you, who did you sit by? You can't even tell me how the face looked like. Except because I'm unsure. I always say, if you're giving a job to somebody, what you are not looking for, you won't find it. If I give you a job, that always make sure that things are arranged here nicely before service. If you are not seeking for a chair that have gone inside, you won't see it. The one that have that burden will be looking, have some chair gone in or here? And somebody will come, they just walk out, oh, everything is okay. Because he's not looking for what is odd. So what are you seeking? You can come to church. You must have something in mind that I'm seeking. And when you come, you will find it. Then, oh, okay. I'm going to seek for your husband. He comes looking. Who is not wearing, having a ring on? I know some of the men have removed their rings. Some too, they don't, when they enter here, they put it. When they go out, seek. So if you want the Holy Spirit, you need to seek. Wait upon him, pray, seek with prayer. Ask. Let it be. Don't say, oh, okay, God, if you give it to me, I like it. No. You have no desire for it. Anything you don't have desire for it, I don't think it's enough. Whatsoever you desire, it is what you desire. Ask. It is what you desire that when you ask, it shall be given to you. You see where I have moved to? Then knock. Do what? Knock. Keep on hitting. You find out that the lady, there was a story in Luke that a woman, called, some call it importune woman, she said she wouldn't give up. She kept on knocking at the judge's door. And the judge is a wicked judge. He himself knows that he's wicked. He doesn't fear God. In fact, it's not somebody who said, he himself knows that. Me timwe ding. Me shiro nyame. But that woman had a problem. And the one that can solve the problem is the judge. And the work of the judge is to bring justice. So once you have accepted it as your job, whether you like it or not, the woman said, look, if you say you're a teacher, you may not like me. I've paid my school fees. I'll come to class. You have to teach. It's not whether you like it or not. When you choose a work, let me tell you, those who are working, any job you accept, it means that you say you are going to work. Whether you like the person who is coming there or not, you'll be employed to serve that person. If you don't serve him, resign. That one, you are not obliged. As a pastor, I don't say, oh, today I don't feel like preaching. Mimpo. I have to prepare and come and preach to you. Well, I have said, God, yes, send me. It's part of the package. You can fight with me. I will say, come here and preach to you. So keep on knocking, knowing that God says that I will do this. This is my position. I'm a judge. I am this. I am that. And because of that, if you come based on that, I will hear you. So I said to you, ask. I need to be given to you, seek, and you will find, knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, that's what? Receives. Wow. And he who seeks, that's what? Finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Listen to what he said. If a son asks for what? Bread from any father among you, will he give him what? A stone. Now give me the answer. No matter how the father's head is like, if the head is being like a stone, he won't give stone. If your son comes to ask you for bread, You don't give him what? Stone as human beings, isn't it? You give him bread. You know he's hungry. Let's continue. Or if he asks for what? A fish. Look. Enam. Nama. Ella. If he can't ask for Ella. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? How many of you, if your child asks for a fish, you go and take snake and give it to him? So look at what Jesus said. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him what? A scorpion? If you and me, being evil, yen yetimedin nipa, know how to do what? Give good. He qualified it with good. Know how to give what? Good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So this, what he's saying, was related to what? The receiving of what? The Holy Spirit. The people who ask the Holy Spirit. People have this, I don't know how they got those theory. That, hey, you have for the Holy Spirit, when you ask, Satan may give you something new. So the tongue you speak may come from the devil. I don't believe that. How can you ask God and God will allow the Satan to impersonate him? Then where is that God? Then you didn't ask him. He said, I know some of you fear. Some people say, hey, we are now Khoja. It will be stone. Some say, hey, a serpent, a scorpion. All this scorpion, snakes, they're all the works of the devil. So when you ask God the Holy Spirit, he will not give you the devil's spirit. The worst a father will do, he won't mind you. Not taking a scorpion, that this is egg, get and eat. So I'm alleviating and taking away your fear. That all those who speak in tongues is devilish. Who told you? Did they ask the devil? So I'm building this way that you can have faith. That anytime you are asking and you direct your prayer towards God, you will have faith that God is the one answering you. And what you ask is what God is going to give to you. But before they said, ask, seek, knock. So some, the moment you ask, Abba, some you ask and seek. Some you ask, seek and knock. Don't give up. The fact that somebody just asked and received, and you asked and didn't receive, means that you should go on retirement. Keep on seeking. Seek. Seek until you find where the Holy Spirit is. Until you find the way to receive the Holy Spirit. Seek. Keep on knocking until the door is open. It can apply to anything that you ask from God. Don't give up on the way. There are some people, They just asked Jesus, and Jesus did it for them. There are some, they will ask and ask and ask. And when even Jesus came, he said, why should I take the children's bread and give it? So the disciples said, send that, that woman away. The lady was seeking and asking and knocking, kept on knocking until everybody get agitated. But she said, you see, when you are in trouble and you are seeking for something, the others standing by, they don't understand. So don't let them determine how you should ask. Yes. I hope you're getting me. When it comes to asking from God, it's between the individual and God. Don't look at the one at your right. I said, brother, somebody was praying. I didn't. You don't know. If you were in that condition, you will cry in addition to your prayer. So asking is very important. I'm not going to rush over this. Asking is very important. Secondly, believing everything that you want to take from God. When you are asking, you must ask in faith. The Bible says that a double-minded person, according to James, a double-minded person can never receive anything from God. So when you are going to God, you must establish in your mind, in your heart, in everything that, look, I want that thing. I have no doubt that God won't give it to me. He will give to me. Approach God by faith. Anything, any prayer, anything we ask, the basic principle is it might be asked in faith. Without faith, your prayer, in fact, what you don't believe, you will be a hypocrite. Well, the prayer you are praying, you don't believe. Oh, Mami Sumbi Sebi. People are asking, let him also ask. No. Christianity is not like that. It is having a personal conviction with God. So the Holy Spirit, when we are asking, we need to ask, we need to have faith. The third thing is that we also need not only asking to be involved, that when you ask and you believe, you act. Whatever you believe, you do it. If I tell you once again that it's a lion coming from this side, and you really believe that lions eat, you will all run to this, my right side. Isn't it? Even though you haven't seen it by your right, you'll run to this side. Oh? What will make you run? What brought the fear? Because you believe what I said. And you have a picture of a lion sitting in front, at the left side there. Even though there's no lion there. So whatever we believe, either, let me tell you a secret. Whatever you believe, if it's in line with God's word, God enforces it and sends his angels to make sure that it is enforced. If it's in line with the devil's system, he sends his demons to also enforce it. So your belief is where you are now, and it's what is happening to you now. What do you believe? So your faith is very vital in asking. Then secondly, you must understand that the Holy Spirit is not for show. Mr. Minyana Mikwa. It's to help us, one, to be a witness. Say witness. Micah chapter 3, not Michael. Micah. Chapter 3, verse 8. He said, but truly I am what? Full of what? By the Spirit of the Lord. Anytime we receive the Holy Spirit, power is added. He said, you shall receive what? To do what? That's what Jesus said. To be a witness. So that power that comes to you is not to kill your grandfather. It's to be a witness. Look at what he said. But truly I am full of what? Power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might. To do what? To declare, to be a witness, to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his what? His sin. To preach that the world have sinned and there's a solution for the world. To preach repentance. I hope you're getting me. So the Holy Spirit comes upon you and to make you preach that. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. John 15 verse 26. But when the helper comes, he calls him what? The helper. When he comes, whom I shall send to you. Jesus is the one that sent it. I said, God sent his son, and his son also sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit also sent his gift. The Spirit of truth, who proceeded from the Father, he will what? Testify of me. Testify of me. Bold. Testify. It is still talking about Christ. It is still witnessing about him. When the Holy Spirit comes, he makes you talk about Christ and not about yourself. I hope you're getting me. Luke 4 verse 18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit, the number one purpose is for you to be a witness, to bring God's word to people, to bring the good news to people. Then while you are bringing it, Jesus said, it is true by confirming it with signs and wonders. I hope you're getting me. I want you to know the reason why. Then Acts chapter 4 verse 29. Now Lord, look at their threat and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may what? Oh, this is when they have done a miracle. And you know, anytime somebody seems to be doing well, it looked like somebody is afraid that he will lose his congregation. So Peter and John, They were so envious because he raised what? A cripple in the name of Jesus, and they brought them and caned them, whipped them, and warned them, because they knew that that name, if you preach in that name, something happens. So they warned them, you can preach everything. The Church of Christ on earth here, look, you can preach every good thing. Tell people will prosper. Tell people will do this. But not the name of Jesus. Talk about God, nicely about God. But the name of Jesus, don't make God. When you mention it, something happens. The demonic world shakes. Systems are in trouble. So don't mention that name. It turns cities upside down. Please, that name, we permit you to preach on everything apart from the name of Jesus Christ. But that is the key. What will the modern church do? Let's find people to go and negotiate. Come to the middle. How we should preach the gospel. We won't mention Jesus' name. We'll talk about somebody who came to Jerusalem. We can turn and say, Mary's son. When they whipped them, they said, don't preach in the name of Jesus again. And Peter, the coward man, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach well in the name of Jesus. And look at what Peter said. And Peter, but Peter and John answered, he looked at their face. These were the very people who took Jesus and crucified them. They had that same power to crucify the two of them. They were the very people who cut off the head of James. So they have the ability to do it. So they, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Once God has said something, there's no apology. We don't have apology to the world when it comes to the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't want to listen to it, close your ears. That name, I will say it. There's power in that name. Where that power is, they want the power to be put aside so that they can face you with mental. Because when it comes to power, they cannot produce it. But when it comes to reasoning, they can reason with you. I hope you're getting me. He said, is it good for us? So when they left, they went to their company and reported it. That the people are putting hindrances, the authorities are putting hindrances on us to preach. They want to structure how we should preach the gospel. So they prayed. They didn't pray that God kill them. They didn't pray that God let fire come from heaven and consume all of them. They prayed a prayer. What prayer did they pray? So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, with one accord, what the world tries to do is to divide the front of the church. When something comes against one church, they will use the other churches to fight against that church. And when a church is fighting against a church, there's no antidote. God says that the gate of hell shall not prevail against what? He was talking about the gate of hell, not the gate of heaven. But the church is on the side of God. So when there's an infighting, is very difficult to deal with it. I don't fear the outside. I fear the church. They compromise the church to the extent that even in nations, they've divided the front of the church politically. And because of that, the church has become ineffective. Instead of us to be able to speak the truth, we are saying it, they have some on their side who will support them. We need unity with one accord. When it comes to Jesus Christ, let us come together and say the same thing. You see, the church has a power which they don't do. Especially the church in Africa, the church in Ghana, about 70% or so. We can determine who should become a president. In fact, when it comes to voting, the president should be kneeling down in churches, not in mosques. But they know they can divide you. It's very easy. The voice of other faith holds stronger than the Christian faith here. It's a prophet then now can. Why? With all this power, with all these numbers, with all this, why are we ineffective? The moment we get up there, we compromise. The incorruptible become corruptible. The reason is that we've separated our faith from what we do. We are Ghanaians who became Christians. So we will exhibit our Ghanaian character in the Christian world. But we should be Christians. Our first citizenship is from above, who are living in Ghana. Then we can influence Ghana with where we come from. Yeah. If not that, I'm a Christian. Quite the same. We get the same result. There's no commitment to Christ. No commitment to Christianity. We use Christianity as a way to get to a place. Shine your eyes. I pray that when you get to any place, remember first that you are a citizen of heaven. And God has placed you on earth here to change things and to influence things. We are auditioning. You see where I have passed? The Holy Spirit will rest upon us. And we will be a different kind of people. The Spirit of the Lord, when it comes upon you, you don't become the same. In the book of Samuel, I said, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall be another man. You will no longer be the old man. And truly anybody he comes upon, he becomes another man. It came upon Saul and they asked, is Saul also among the prophets? It comes upon David and David was not like another man when he saw Goliath. He saw Goliath and saw that, look, I am not another man. So I'm going to face him. He came upon Peter. And coward Peter, who swore to a slave, a girl, a housemaid, that he never knew Jesus. He stood before the very people who crucified Jesus and said, look, is it better for me to obey God or to obey you? He was another Peter. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you are another man. You are no longer the one the devil can play like football. I can talk about the Holy Spirit for 1 year. In fact, we are bought by the Spirit, born again through the Spirit. In fact, the church is supposed to operate is a spiritual body. So this is our field. That is what we ought to do. All the others are just, they are side issues. Prosperity is a side issue. Marriage is what? Hey, prophet. Praise God. I want, my desire is to see the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit to demonstrate in our midst. It makes the message simple and easy. See, when the Holy Spirit is at work, you don't struggle. I told you, somebody asked me a question. Theological question. I told you here. Yeah. Who is Jesus? I said, Jesus is the Son of God. He said, hey, Akwano Machino. Who is Jesus' mother? I said, Mary. Who is Mary's husband? I said, Joseph. He said, then can you prove to me that somebody's wife and God can have a child? Ah, people don't fear anything, no. See, I can't prove it. Listen, but Jesus, you said you are the, I read it and it's true. But you know that it is true, but you can't explain it. And I started sweating in the plane. So I asked God, God, what should I answer? I was thinking about it. God said, speak in tongue. I said, hey, Jesus, the Son of God, the man don't understand. Speaking in tongue. Even we Christians, we have problem with some. I said, no, you want to make me, you want to ridicule me before this man. Say, speak in tongue. So you know what you do? I spoke it in my head. When you are with people, I said, God said, speak it loud. I said, speak it to the man. I said, yeah. They started. And the way I was behaving, the man was looking at me. I said, yeah, okay, obey me, nonsense. Speaking. And the guy was looking at me. Oh God, you want me to become a fool before this man who is arguing that you are not the son? And the moment I finished, he spoke back to me in a similar language. I said, what? And I said, I don't understand. He said, you understand. Then he spoke back to me. He said, where do you know me? Then I knew I said something about him. Then God gave me a word of knowledge. And said, you mentioned the name my father gave to me. But I'm not using that name. And you told me the village I was born. And my father sent me to the city to go and live with my uncle. So my uncle adopted me and placed his name on me. So all those who knows me that my uncle is my father. And my uncle's name is what I carry. But you mentioned my home name there, what I was originally given. Now I have got you. when the Holy Spirit capture people like that, all the argument is become nonsense. Then I said, you, I know where you are going. And I told him exactly his frustration. When he was coming, what he told the wife in the bedroom before going to the airport. I quoted that thing verbatim. The guy started shaking. Are you a prophet? Then I said, God, let me speak more, let me speak in more tongues. Eventually, he wanted to receive Jesus. I told him and what he was going to do, the next his next destination, and how many times he's been there, and what he's been chasing there. He was doing some business, and I mentioned the amount I mentioned almost killed him. It was the exact amount he was dealing about the business. I told him, not minus one, plus one. It is not about. It is the exact figure. And I saw the guy shaking. He said, show me this man who knows all about men. I led him to Christ. By the time I could finish, he was speaking in tongues. I said, God, we have prayed for people who are yearning to receive the Holy Ghost. This one who insulted you, you just saved him, and he's speaking in tongues. I said, I feel some joy in me. And there's one thing he told me. He said, I know after I've gone back, I'll be killed. Because what I have received, I cannot deny it. It's a personal encounter. But I'm ready to die for that. And I asked myself, am I ready to die for my faith? Let me tell you the truth. No. At that time, no. His faith challenged me. I said, God, help me to have the type of faith of this man. Brethren, I didn't now go to, I said, let's go to the theology. There was no argument. The question he asked, the Holy Spirit answered it in a different way. And he forgot. He never asked that question about Mary, Joseph, and God. So sometimes the Holy Spirit knows how to convict and to convict heart. Yes. When heart are convict, all questions dissipate. That is what we need the Holy Spirit to witness. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on moving. Don't look at anybody. Don't look at any Christian, whether they are backsliding or not. Look, be serious with your God and continue to push and knock. You will come back and those who are playing will follow you. Hey, God has not, nobody, there's nobody called favorite in the kingdom. It is anyone that seek God. Don't think that me, I am favorite. He can sideline me and take a stone and make something great out of it. So seek him, ask, and continue knocking. It shall be given. Hallelujah.